Well, we got a treat for you tonight. Charlie Smith has got a testimony and a praise report, and I'd like for him to come forward now, Charlie, if you would, and share your heart, brother.
All righty. Can you hear me all right out there?
Yes, sir. We can hear you fine.
Okay. God bless everyone that's listening tonight. I guess I'll give my praise report first, if I may. You know, last Friday we went to church, and everything was fairly decent, you know. We didn't have no problem getting to church, but we did ask the Lord to get us there and then get us back home because, you know, they had snow and ice for the mountain areas, you know. And so we went to church with no problem. And even when we got into the town, why, you know, it wasn't bad at all. So we went to church, and when we let out, why... It was snowing pretty good, you know. And so everybody was cleaning off their windows a little bit and getting ready to take off, you know. And somebody asked me, said, do you think you'll get home? Because we live pretty good distance from the church. And I said, yeah. I said, it doesn't matter if you live one block from the church or 30 miles from the church. I said, God's always faithful, and don't worry, we're going to get home fine. So we took off in a couple, 3 minutes, and so we was on our way home. And sure enough, the roads in town and everything, they was pretty clean, you know, and we didn't have no problem with anything. But when we got probably, I'd say about 5 miles out of town, well, you know, they hadn't done any road work. And so, you know, it was a little bit crunchy, you know, a little ice, a little snow here and there. But we just took our time, and we're just talking to the Lord and going on home. And like I say, we had no problems getting home, you know. And then when I got probably within... close to a half a mile of my house. Well, me and Linda both was, you know, just praising the Lord. I said, boy, I'm glad we're home, you know, because all we liked was going around one curve and over one hill, and we turned off to go to the house. But I guess we was being tried here. You know, I guess the enemy was wanting to rob our keep us from having a testimony and robbing us of faith. But he fell miserably on his face that night, praise God. Because as we went around the last curve, why, there was a red pickup truck, a Ford pickup truck that was having problems, and he was right in the middle of the road, and most of his truck was in my lane, and he was sliding right down the road. And I said, oh, Jesus, help us here, because I didn't want to stop, and I didn't have a whole lot of room on my side of the road to get over. It was just a ditch. So we just kept going, and the truck came all the way down the road. I mean, it was unbelievable. And when he got within about 20 or 30 feet of our vehicle, it was just like God took his hand and pushed his truck around and pushed the whole truck, front end and all, back over on his side. And we just went right on up the curve top of the hill and went into the house. And so... I just wanted to share that with the brethren. Hey, our God can do anything that we can believe Him for, you know. And Brother Harry and Brother Tim and everybody tonight, I do have a testimony I'd like to share, if I may. This happened a pretty good while back when I was a lot younger, and I just like to share it with you tonight, and I pray that the good Lord will bless everyone, and you'll receive something from it, you know, and He'll encourage you and build your faith. And I was probably 9 years old, and I was going to a little city school, and while we were going there, you know, the first 2 or 3 weeks of school, you know, you mostly hang outside, and they give you extra play periods and all of that. And if I'm not mistaken, I was in the fourth grade. I just went into the fourth grade. And while we were out there, you know how kids are, you know, they gang up with, you know, two or three of their buddies, you know, and you play and have fun and everything. And so during this school year, this particular school year, while I was in the fourth grade, while I made a couple of friends, you know, about my same age, and they liked to play marbles, you know, and if you lost, why, you know, they got your marbles, or if you won, why, you got theirs. And you know, and I was learning how to, you know, to make friends with people and everything. And I tried to make friends with everybody. It was during this time, you know, that I'd played marbles, I guess, for what seemed like 2 months. And I'd lost everything I had because I wasn't a real good marble player, you know. And so after I lost all my marbles and everything like that, I was hoping one of my friends would loan me a marble or two so I could get back in the games. But I guess he knew I was a high-risk kid, so he wasn't going to do that, you know. And so I kept going from, you know, from friend to friend and everything. But everybody, you know, within a few weeks, everybody's already got their buddies chose, you know, that they want to hang around with and all that. And I noticed out in at the back, there were seventh graders out there, about 14-year-old boys. And every time I looked out there, I mean, they was just laughing and hollering and having a good game out there. And I didn't understand the game. I was too young, I guess. And after about a couple of months or so, I told my friend, I said, I'm going to go out there and start playing with the big guys. You know, they always have fun. You hear them laughing and going on. And so he went out the next day. He said, he told me, he said, I'm going to go on out there. But I didn't go that day, so he did. And so he seemed to enjoy it a lot, and he went out there 2 or 3 times. So I said, well, I'm going out there too, you know. And so one day I went out there, and they had a game going out there. It was called Pop the Whip. That's where you have a long line of kids, you know, and you go out through there, and then you bend your line back and you try to sling them off. And every time you sling off some kids while they're out of the game, they have to go over and sit down. And they keep it up until, you know, they ain't but one or two left and they're the champs, you know, they're the big chiefs. And so I went out there and I played this game with them at least 3 or 4 times, I guess. And I was getting to enjoy it. And I guess I was stubborn because I had my mind made up that they wasn't going to slang me off, that if anybody was going to be a champ at that game, well, I was going to be one of them. I might not be the only one, but I was going to hang in there, you know. So the next week we came back to school, and so it was afternoon recess, and so I told everybody that I was going to go back out there and play, man, and because I was really enjoying it. I was enjoying their friendship, and and everything was just really, really nice, you know. And so this day was different. I went out there to play, and I'd been out there probably about 10 or 15 minutes or so. And I didn't get to mention this the other night at our meeting. I let it slip my mind, but I'm going to add it tonight. While I was out there this last time, why, like I say, I'd been out there for a pretty good little while, you know, playing this Pop the Whip game with the bigger boys. And my friend was out there, too. I guess we was the only 9 or 10-year-olds out there. Well, this little 7-year-old girl, she came up and she said, I have to talk to you. She said, I've got a warning from God. And I mean, that blowed my mind. I said, a warning from God, you know. I mean, we didn't go to church. You know, I didn't know nothing about God or going to church or anything, you know. And I mean, that was Greek to me. And this little girl said, God said, if you don't quit this game now, you're really going to be hurt bad. And so I stood there for a second, you know, and they're getting ready to reline, right, you know, make another line to go back out. So I said, oh, no. I said, no, just go on away. I said, I'm going to be all right. Ain't nothing going to happen to me, you know. I'm having fun. And so I didn't take the warning. So sure enough, I'd say within about 5, maybe 7 minutes or so later, it happened. There was kids laying all over the field, you know, and every time, you know, some of them get thrown off, well, that pushes you up further up on the line, And I just had moved up on the line, and I was really thinking, boy, this is going to be good. I may come out on top today, but I didn't because I got thrown off. They popped the whip, and me and about four more boys hit the ground. And when I hit the ground, I had three of the bigger boys to land on my arm, and it broke it about 2 inches below the wrist. And then I was laying there thinking how I'm going to get up off of the ground. And you're talking about seconds, you know. And then this bigger guy, he got overbalanced, and he came over and he stomped my arm three times trying to get his balance back and broke my arm probably a couple inches before you get to the elbow. So there I was. I was in a real bad fix, you know. And I thought, God, you know, what am I? Oh, I didn't say God, but you know, I was wondering, what am I going to do now, you know? And about that time, though, the bell rung, recess is over, so everybody's running to get back to their room, getting the classes and everything, and I'm on the ground trying to get myself up. And so finally, I did. I managed to get back up on my feet, and I had grass stains and dirt on my clothes, and there I had my arm, and I thought, well, I've got to hurry and get back into my room. And so I went into the room, and there's a couple of my buddies in the fourth grade there with me, and I sat down at my desk, and everybody come over there where I was at and said, what's wrong with that arm? Look at that goofy-looking arm, you know. And what it was, you know, the bones down here by my wrist was pooched up on the top, oh, I don't know, an inch or so, you know, inch and a half high, you know, and it looked like a looked like a heel. But back here where my elbow was, it was the other way around, the top of my arm and my flesh was sunk in, and it was pooched out on the bottom, and it was a mess. It looked rough, you know, and everybody was saying, what's wrong with your arm? What happened here and all that? And I said, hey, I guess I got it hurt a while ago when I was playing, you know. And about that time, the teacher walked in, and she said, everybody get back in your seat. What are you doing anyway? And she walked over where I was at, and she saw my arm, and she said, oh, my God. And, you know, and she sort of freaked out, and she looked at my arm, and she said, what have you done? I said, I don't know. I just hurt my arm. And she said, you stay right there and don't move. So she went and got one of the helpers from the cafeteria, told him to bring ice. And so she took me out in the hall, and they packed ice on my arm. And she told me, she said, I think you've broke your arm. But you know what? I didn't have any pain. My arm wasn't hurting. I mean, I didn't know if it was broke or not. I was just going by what everybody else said. It looked like it was broke, you know. And so there I am. I'm looking at everybody else, and everybody's freaked out, running up and down the hall and go get the principal and all that. And everybody's saying, how does your arm feel? I say, fine, it feels great, you know, but, boy, it looked rough, you know. So anyway... they called the principal down there, and she didn't like that one a little bit. And so she went and called my mom, and she told my mom she needed to get to the school. There'd been an accident, and she thinks that my arm got broke, and that I might need to take, I might be needing to go to a doctor. So here comes my mom, and we just live about a mile from the school. So she was there probably in 3 minutes, you know, and of course my mom, she was aggravated, and she sort of got a little sassy with the teacher. She said something to the effect that, hey, I thought this was a school. How come he's getting hurt like this, you know? So anyway, my mom, they got me ready, and everybody took me out there and set me down in the car. So we went to see a doctor. I went to the family doctor, I guess you could say. I don't remember really what his name was. I think his name was Dr. Truitt, I believe. So he didn't even have to examine my arm. He looked at it, and he said, it's broke. And, of course, he told Mama, he said, I've never seen a break like this before. And he sort of cursed a little bit, you know. And he took x-rays and all of that, and he, of course, he told Mom, he said, I'm going to have to put him to sleep so I can set this arm. And so anyway, he looked at the x-rays. He didn't like that. And he went ahead, and it took him over 2 hours to try to set my arm. And so he went ahead while I was out. He went ahead and put a cast on my arm, and he chopped it off right before you got to the elbow. And he told my mom, he said, I did the best I could with that arm, but he said, I'm not going to give you any promises. He said, I don't know if it's going to mend like that. He said it could come loose, it could move, and I mean, he was giving us all the bad news, you know, the bad report. And so Mom took me home, and well, I better back up a second. Right when we was getting ready to leave the doctor's office, why, he said he had called a specialist from Chattanooga because he didn't like the looks of the X-rays, and he didn't think it was going to work out. So he wanted somebody else to check it and see what they thought about it. And so he told my mom, said, you're going to have to take him down there. And he said, I've done got you scheduled. I've done sent the x-rays to him. And he said, you need to go down there in 2 days. So now let me change the subject just for a minute. On Sunday evenings, while for the last 3 or 4 months, we've been me, my mom, and sometimes my sister would go with me. We'd go over on Sunday afternoons, and we'd watch TV preachers at my grandmother's house. And well, she liked to watch Oral Roberts, and he prayed for the sick. And, you know, and there was another preacher that came on like 2 or 3 hours after that, and that was A.A. Allen. And he prayed for the sick, and you know, he ministered also. So, like I say, for about 3 or 4 months, well, we knew where we was going on Sundays, you know, and looking back on it, you know, we wasn't going to church or anything. It was really good for us to be exposed, you know, to the Word of God and the things of God. And so anyway, we went over there, and so this Sunday we went over there, and my mom, she told my grandmother what had happened to my arm and everything, and she said, the doctor don't like what he sees and all that, and we're going to have to go to Chattanooga, and I hate to go down there and all this, you know. And so after Brother Roberts came on, well, my grandmother said, I want you to watch him real carefully, Charlie, and I want you to listen to what he says because he tries to get people to have faith. And she said, hey, we're talking about a woman that was a Baptist. Can you believe this? And she said, hey, if he can stir up your faith a little bit so you can believe, did you know God could heal that arm for you? There ain't nothing God can't do if you just believe him for it. Well, I didn't answer her back or nothing. I thought, well, I guess, you know, like I said, I didn't know nothing about church or God or nothing. So, okay, the preacher comes on, and he preached his message and everything, and he had this long line of people, you know, kids and adults and stretcher cases and all that. And so it showed him, you know, he'd go lay hands on them or command them to rise up and walk and all of that, you know. And I thought, well, that is, you know, that's pretty different, I guess. And so, you know, after he went off, and then A.A. Allen came on, and it was pretty much the same thing. He had his methods of, you know, ministering and everything. So that was all of it, you know. So I had Monday off, and so Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, well, we went back, and we went to Chattanooga to see this other doctor. And while we were there, well, he done had the x-rays up on his little old, whatever you call it there, you know, before he flip a light on so he could see them and read them. And so he brought us in there and showed us the x-rays, and he told Mama, he said, hey, I'm going to tell you something. His name was Dr. Skelton, and that's the only reason I could remember, because I thought, yeah, Dr. Skelton, he knows everything about bones, right, you know? And I sort of giggled over that. And so anyway, he was telling Mama, he said, I've never seen a break this serious before. And he was telling her about all the fracture and the cracks in the bones, and everything was so unstable. And he said, there's so many breaks, in his up there by his wrist and his elbow. He said, no wonder the doctor wasn't sure that he could get it set. And so anyway, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to adjust this cast. And he did. He started down around my knuckles, and he added some cast. And he went all the way up, probably, I don't know, probably within a couple inches of my shoulder. And he added all that cast on there, and he put some plastic reinforcement or something in there, because he didn't want nothing to get bumped or move or about that arm, you know. So he told my mom, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give him 2 weeks to start mending. And he said, if this arm isn't healing up properly, he said, we only have one choice. He said, I'll have to go in and do surgery on his, he said, I'll have to go in and do surgery on his arm. He said, I'll have to put screws and bolts. I'll have to put steel rods and stuff in there. He said, even if I do that, he said, he's going to have little use of that arm, and it'll probably wither. So mom, my poor mama, she wept and cried, and I thought, wow, I don't want my arm to wither, you know. I mean, I like to play baseball and things, you know, and I didn't know what to think about it or anything. So anyway, we went home, and 2 weeks went by, you know, like 6 days or something, you know. It was just flying by. So I went back to the doctor in 2 weeks. No, well, I better pack up again. I'm sorry. So it was 2 weeks was getting real close. So I got to go over my grandmother's two more times to see the preacher, and I'm sure God was orchestrating all of this. I mean, He had me going over there for 3 or 4 months before I ever got hurt. I think He was getting me ready for something, and you know, to get me in a place of faith so I could believe Him. As a little child, you know, reach out to him with childlike faith or whatever, you know. So anyway, we went back over that Sunday and the following Sunday. That was our last trips over there, you know. And so anyway, we went in and we went early because my grandmother called and said, you need to get over here 30 minutes early so we can talk a little bit before the preacher comes on. So we went over, and so we sat there, and my grandmother was talking about how God can heal. He can do anything, you know, and all we have to do is trust Him and just believe He can do it. She said, that's all you have to do, just believe He can do it. And so she said, now I want you to listen to everything the preacher has to say. We're talking about Oral Roberts here. And she said, when he goes to pray, she said, I want you to believe that God will heal your arm. And I thought, wow, you know. So the preacher came on. We watched the preacher, and he preached his message, and he was praying for the sick and everything, you know. And I was sitting there in the chair, and a little old 9-year-old boy didn't know anything. And so Brother Roberts, he said, those out there that's needing prayer, he said, I want you to stretch your hand forth toward the TV. And he stretched his hand out. And he said, that's just a point of contact, he said, so we can connect our faith, you know. So I did. And so he went to praying. And I, of course, I didn't want to lose the use of my arm. And I didn't want it to wither. And I remember saying this. I just said it under my breath. He was preaching, he was praying, and he was commanding healing to come to the people and all of that. And I just remember I said, Lord, please fix my arm. That's all I know to say. Please fix my arm. And so he hollered, yay. And he said, that's it. And he didn't more say yay till it was like a bolt of lightning, and it was red hot, went all the way up my hand, up my arm, and all the way up to my shoulder blade. and my whole arm was red hot, you know. And I thought, wow, boy, my arm is really, really warm here. And then I noticed, I thought, wow, my arm's not stiff, you know, because I had it in the cast, but I still couldn't. I couldn't hardly bend my fingers. I couldn't do anything with my arm. And I thought, well, the stiffness, I believe, is leaving my hand, you know. And the swelling went down. And I thought, well, this is funny. I mean, now the cast is really loose, you know. And I thought, well, I hope it don't come off. That doctor won't like that, you know. And I'm noticing little things, you know. And I guess my arm stayed hot for several minutes. And so I just stood up, and I thought, well, I'm going to try this out. I mean, goodness, you know. And so I started putting my arm behind my head, you know, and slinging it out and trying it out. And I thought, I told Mama, I said, well, I said, my finger's been real good. And I said, well, Mama, I think I got healed. And my grandma said, I told you he'd get his healing, you know. And I thought, well, this is really good. But I didn't understand any of it. I was just, that's all I said was, Lord, please fix my arm. So we stayed over probably just a little longer. You know, we saw A.A. Allen, that we took off and went home. And so then the following Monday, well, we have to go back and see the doctor, right? So I was feeling pretty good, and I thought, boy, this is pretty good. I think maybe my arm's all right now, you know. So we went back to see Dr. Skelton, and he had the old x-rays up on the glass, and he said, well, he said, this is the final day. He said, I want you to go into the room next door and have x-rays made. And I told him, I said, my arm is a lot better now. I said, I think it's healed. And he just looked at me over the top of his glasses and said, well, we'll see. And he was a nice doctor, but, you know, he didn't really, he wasn't believing it, I don't think. So anyway, he said, well, we'll see. You go in there and take your x-rays. So I went in there and took x-rays, and in a few minutes, while one of the nurses brought him in there and gave him to him, and he pulled him out of the folder, and he slapped him up on the glass. And he just stood there and looked and looked and looked. And he turned around, and he dropped his glasses off his nose, you know, and he said, I don't understand this. And he told us to come over where he was, and he showed me my arm, the bones in my arm, and there was no fissures, there was no cracks, there was no chipped places, there was no breaks, there was nothing. It was as if it had never been broken, and it was totally made whole again. And so he said, well, he said, I'm going to take that cast off. So he laid me on the table, and he took his little saw, and he ripped it off there, you know. And so he put some galls on it, and he told Mom to keep them on me for a few days, but he didn't want me to bump my arm on nothing. He said, just watch him for a few days. He said, I'm baffled at all this. He said, I don't understand it, but he said, it's amazing. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, there's going to be a doctor's convention where all the specialists and everything gets together in Atlanta. And he said that we'll be going down there next week. And he said, and he pulled the x-rays off of the off of his little glass thing over there. He said, I'm taking these with me, and I'm taking all my charts and stuff from the other doctor, you know, where we was living. He said, I'm taking all this down there as evidence. He said, I want them to see this. And they tell me, what do they think happened to this boy's arm? I can show them where it was broke, and I can show them 2 weeks later where there's no sign of it ever being injured. And he said, son, all I can tell you is just take care of yourself. And he said, I hope we don't see each other no more. And he just sort of laughed, you know. So we came back home. And so when we came back home, well, I told Mama, I said, well, I guess I can go to school in a day or two, can't I? And she said, my mom was a little bit reluctant. She said, no, I don't think so. She said, no, I'm going to keep you out for a couple more weeks. And I said, two more weeks? So So anyway, she did. She made me stay home for a couple of weeks, and if I went out in the yard to do anything, well, she was right there with me. She didn't want me to hurt my arm. You know how moms are. And so anyway, after a couple of weeks, my teacher and probably about 8 or 10 of my friends that I went to school with, they came to visit me to see how I was doing and if there's anything they could do and all of that, you know. And so they came up to the house and paid me a visit for about 45 minutes. And so the teacher was wanting to know when did mom think that I'd be fit to come back to school. And my mom said, maybe in a couple of weeks. And I thought, well, now I'm going to be out 2 more weeks, you know. But my mom just wanting to be careful with her boy, I guess. So after another couple of weeks, well, I went back to school. And when I went in, I went into my classroom, and everything just come to a halt. Everybody, including the teacher jumped up from behind her desk, and she said, Charlie, how you doing? And all the kids turned around, and everybody ran back there to see me, you know. So she let us have a little fellowship, you know, for about 5 minutes or so, and then she told everybody to have a seat. And after a couple of weeks, the principal of the school came with my teacher, and they both called me out in the hallway. And she said, I want to ask a favor of you. And I said, okay. And so the principal said, I'd like for you to address the students, all of them. And she said, you can start with the small kids, first, second, and third, and then the fourth and the fifth, and the sixth and the seventh. And she said, I want you to tell them exactly what happened to you on the playground that you got hurt. I want to know how you're doing. Your mama said there's nothing wrong with you. We'd like to find out about that, too. We just want you to come and help us to understand how you're doing. And I said, well, and I thought, well, I don't know if I can do all of this. And I said, well, I'll try. So not only did I get healed by the Lord, by his grace and mercy, you know, gosh, now he's setting me up so I can evangelize, I guess, the school, you know, because they want to know what happened and how I got recovered so quick, you know, because even the doctor said it'd be 12 weeks before the arm could possibly heal. But here I am. About a month later, you know, and so everybody's wanting to know what happened to Charlie, you know. So I'd say it was probably a week after that the principal came, and it was after we had lunch in the cafeteria, and the principal was a lady. She said, how about tomorrow? I'll give you half the day. And you can take your time, and you can start in the first, second, and third grade and go all the way up to the seventh grade. She said, I want to use this as a teaching method. She said, I want the kids to learn that when bigger kids and smaller kids are together in games or any kind of activity, that the bigger kids needs to watch out over the small kids, and the small kids needs to stay back, maybe away from the bigger kids. Especially, you know, depending on what kind of games they're playing. And she said, I think it would be a good a lesson for all of us because we don't want this to ever repeat anymore. So I said, okay, tomorrow? And she said, yeah. She said, I'll send somebody to get you. So sure enough, well, I went to school the next day, and right after lunch, here comes the principal, you know. So she took me into the first, second, and third grade. All of those was in one room. And so I stood in there, and I was telling them what happened, you know, and this and that and the other, you know. And of course, you know, first and second graders, you know, I don't think they was really, you know, understanding a whole lot. Because, I mean, I didn't understand a whole lot either. So then I went to the fourth and fifth grade. That was the room that I was in, you know. And of course, everybody pretty well knowed I'd done filled them in over the last 2 weeks. But I told them again, you know, I explained to them what happened to me on the playground and about going to the doctors and all of this, you know. And so when I got done with her, she said, now I want you to come to my class. And so we're going into the sixth and seventh graders, you know. That And that's who I was playing with, the 13, 14-year-old boys, great old big heavy-set boys. They look like football players, you know, compared to this little old skinny guy. So I won't never forget it. But when I got in there, why, the teacher said, well, now, you just start just like you, just anywhere you want to, and just tell us what happened on the playground and all that. So I did. I told him I was out there playing with the older boys, you know, and I said, was playing, you know, crack the whip and all of that. And I said, I went out there several days and played with them. And I said, I enjoyed it. I liked it. So I went back to play with them again, you know. But I told them, I said, on that day that I went out there, you know, that last day that I went out there, I said that I got slung off. And I said, I was hoping to hang in there because I was wanting to be one of the last ones, you know. I was tired of losing, and everybody giggled, you know. And so I said, but I got slung off, and I said I had three boys to land on my arm. And I said I didn't really know my arm was hurt until I said after that, I said after the boys got off of my arm, I said then an older guy, you know, I called him an older guy because he was about 14, you know. And an older guy, he came over there, and he stomped the upper part of my arm three times. And so I was explaining to him all of this, you know, and I was explaining to him, you know, that my mom had to take me to the doctor. There was nothing the doctors could do, and he wasn't sure if he could set the arm. They spent over 2 hours trying to set it. He did the best he could, and I said they made x-rays, and he sent me to a specialist in Chattanooga and all that. And so I went through the whole program, you know. And so then everybody said, well, how did your arm get fixed so quick? And I said, oh, okay. So then I explained to them about going over my grandmother's. And I said, she watches a healing evangelist, you know, and I was telling them about Oral Roberts. And I was telling them, you know, about A.A. Allen and all of that, and everybody's looking funny at me, you know. And I said, I went over there, and I said, my granny said if I would believe that that God would heal my arm. And then I really got some real weird looks, you know. And I said, so we went over, and I said, I just whispered under my voice, you know, under my breath, you might say, I just asked God to fix my arm because I didn't want it all bummed up, you know. And I said, he fixed it. I said, he healed my arm, all of it. And I said, we went back to the doctors. I had one of the teachers in there to say, well, how do you know that God healed your arm? I said, when the preacher prayed for me, I said, hot heat, like a lightning bolt went up my arm and heated my whole arm up. I said it was red hot, and I said the swelling went down, you know, and I was telling them all about it, and everybody's looking at me cross-eyed, you know. And so the teacher said, well, is that pretty much all of it? And I said, no. I said, then we went back to the doctors in Chattanooga, and I said he made more x-rays because he didn't believe that God could have healed anybody. And I said, he made more x-rays because he was wanting to do surgery and put bolts and pins in my arm. And I said, he made more x-rays, and he couldn't find anything wrong with my arm. It was totally healed. There was no evidence there at all that the arm had ever been broke or anything. And I said, he just missed us, and he took my files and the x-rays to a specialist meeting, and he said he wanted everybody to know and see what had really happened to this little old 9-year-old boy. And I said, so that's all I can tell you right there. I said, all I can tell you is God healed my arm. And I said, and it's good too. And I slung my arm and lifted it up. I wanted them to know there wasn't nothing wrong with it, you know. And I just praise God for that. And as I look back on life, I really believe with all my heart that He's had his hand on me from day one, and he's kept me through a lot of things, and he's preserved me. And I just want to thank him for his mercy and grace toward me tonight. And if there's anybody out there, I just want to encourage you that, hey, don't never give up on God. It doesn't matter what your problem is or how serious it is. Cancer ain't nothing for God. He can dry it up and get it off of you in a heartbeat. Heart trouble, it's nothing with God. Broken bones or anything else, is there anything too hard for our God? And the answer is no. And I just want you to know, if he can do a miracle on a little old 9-year-old boy that didn't know him, that didn't know nothing about church or anything else, he can do it for anybody. We just have to humble ourselves like a little child and come to him, and he'll fix us, you know. And so I just praise him tonight. He gets all the honor and the praise and the glory for it. I just love him tonight. And really, I guess that was the first encounter I'd ever had through this healing of my body, my arm. And later on in my life, while I received him as my Savior, and of course that's a different story right there. But I just praise him and I thank him, and I hope I've said something tonight that will encourage and bless the listeners out there tonight. And thank you very much, and God bless.